From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Wisconsin voters heading to the polls next Tuesday will choose between nine-term 3rd District Congressman Ron Kind of La Crosse and Republican challenger Tony Kurtz of Prairie du Chien. This is the second half of their only La Crosse area political debate this season. It was recorded this week at UW La Crosse. The moderator is UWL political science professor Joe Heim.
Next question comes from Dave Soley and goes to Ron Kind.
Thank you, Joe, and thank you, Ron, Tony. Thanks very much. Okay. One of the issues on which you appear to agree to at least some extent is this idea of gridlock. Can't imagine what that's like in Washington. Now, as we look around this room, many of your supporters are to my right. Many of Mr. Kurtz is to my left. So Washington has to be interesting.
Yeah.
How do you stop this?
You know, Dave, it comes with good listening skills. You've got to have the ability to at least trust each other enough to sit down, listen to each other. I found through the years when you do that, there is some common ground that can be had. And I've been able to work effectively with many colleagues on the other side. In fact, this year alone, I've had 5 bills that have authored that have been signed into law. And what many historians think this has been the most unproductive session of Congress. And it's because as a member of the minority, I reach across to Republican colleagues to see if they want to work with me on a piece of legislation. And then guess what? I put their name first. And if you're not afraid who gets the credit at the end of the day, there's a heck of a lot that you can accomplish in this democracy still. But there isn't enough of that effort that's taking place. But I also believe that we've got to fix the redistricting process. It is wrong that the politicians get to choose their voters. It's supposed to be the other way around. And because of redistricting and gerrymandering, here in the state of Wisconsin, we have too many districts that are heavily Republican or heavily Democratic and not swing. And therefore, the candidates running are more frightened about primary challenges of the far, far right or the far, far left rather than the general electorate. And that, I think, has led to gridlock in the House in particular. And then finally, we've got to get the big money out of politics. All this dark, shady money, especially coming in from out of state, no one has any idea who the donors are, is wrong. And it needs to be fixed. The Citizens United decision that the Supreme Court issued is a bad decision. I will never agree to the proposition that corporations are people until I see the day when a corporation is put on death row. And you're never going to see that day. And yet we've got these powerful multi-billionaire oil men trying to come into the state of Wisconsin and buy themselves a state or buy themselves a congressman. And that's wrong. And it's going to take us to a very bad place in our democracy. But that money, too, is just increasing the polarization in the political system. So there are certain things that need to be fixed that I think would help alleviate this concern.
Tony?
Could you repeat your question, please?
Sure.
How do you stop the gridlock?
First of all, you got to work across party lines. You have to do that. And one thing, you know, Congressman Kind, since I started really getting into running for office here since January, he always talks about wanting to compromise. But I want folks to look at the record. 91% of the time, he votes with Nancy Pelosi and President Obama. That is not compromise. Congressman Kind talks a lot about getting this big money out of politics. This is one of the things that frustrates me about our politicians. He is the biggest beneficiary of this big money. In this last quarter, the last 90 days, he raised $320,000 from lobbyists. Those lobbyists don't live here in western Wisconsin. They live in Washington, D.C. And he talks about wanting to get rid of this money. Don't shake your head. You know you do. You did your federal election
commander. These are individual contributors that are coming and supporting me.
No, they're not. They're companies.
Fully disclosed.
They're Boeing. They're a company. They're Aetna. They're Cigna. These are companies that are giving you money. And if you don't think that they expect something in return, ladies and gentlemen, if someone gives you $320,000 in 90 days and you expect them not to want something in return, sign me up for that job. I'll take it. The next thing is term limits. If term limits are good enough for our president of the United States, why aren't they good enough for our elected representative? I truly believe in term limits. I just fundamentally believe that. It'll stop a lot of this big money. Men and women will have to work together because they've got to get something done. The folks in this district expect that. Right now, it's not getting done. He's been in Congress way too long. I think 12 years. Six terms for congressmen and 2 terms for a senator, 12 years for both, I think that's plenty. If you can't get something done in that time, you need to go. and get some fresh blood in there.
You know, Dave, if I can just quickly respond. This is the old Washington-style politics that's being played, you know, the personal attacks and going after someone. And you wonder why there's gridlock in Washington. But, you know, the contributions I receive are fully disclosed. You know, they're coming from firemen and police officers and teachers and doctors and nurses here in the congressional district that want to support me. I wish I were independently wealthy. I've asked Senator Cole to adopt me, and he hasn't. But so I've got to raise money because I don't have the financial means to do it myself. The problem isn't the money that I disclose in my report. The problem is the undisclosed amounts. You know, it's the hundreds of thousands of dollars that came into this congressional district hitting me earlier this year by a group called the Young Guns that we know is financed by the Koch brothers, multi-billionaire oil interests who don't even live here. And they were doing it to support his candidacy. And curiously enough, he never disclosed any of that on his finance reports, and the average person has no idea where this money is going. And the reason they're investing is to take me out so they can buy themselves a congressional seat and then drive the agenda that they want in Washington. I'm trying to fix it.
Next question comes from the audience, and it goes to Tony Kurtz. What is the reason for the rise in student loans and debt for higher education given the current low interest rates, and what should government do about it?
Well, one of the things I want to do, when you go through this district, we are very blessed to have all the great colleges. You know, my wife went to Viterbo. We got great two-year schools, good technical colleges. One of the things I want to do as your next congressman is I want to be on that higher education and workforce committee. I think that just makes sense. You'd be hard-pressed to find any other district in this country that has as many educational institutions as the 3rd Congressional District. So that's one of the things I want to do. The next thing is I want you to talk about this debt. You know, in 2000, the debt for student loan debt was at $200 billion. That debt right now is $1.2 trillion. It's basically $28,000 per student. And this just came in a flyer that Jennifer Schilling sent out the other day highlighting that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, who's been in office since 2000? It's been Congressman Kind. For 18 years, he's been in office. He's watched this bubble in student loans grow. And we've got to tackle it. And the best way to tackle that is being at the table when they talk about those things. I believe that students should be able to refinance a student loan. Why do you think that just makes sense? To a lower rate, like whoever asked that question, it makes sense. You know, I think student loans should be tied to what your future income potential is. The other thing is, you know, I didn't go to college right away. I went right into the service serving this country. And then I went to college at night and on weekends. You know, right now, 70% of our jobs can be filled by a technical college degree. And that's something I want to do as your next representative. Talk about and get our young men and women to say, you know what, it's okay to get a technical college degree. College is going to be there in the future. Get that trade. We need welders. We need drivers. We need machinists. These are jobs that are available right now in our district that we could fill with somebody with a technical college degree. And once again, students, college is going to be there for you. It was there for me. It was there for my wife when she had to go later on. So that's one of the things I want to do as your next congressman.
Joe, I'm glad this question came up, especially being on campus today. I don't want to see this $1.2 trillion in student debt to be the next economic bubble that goes off. But more importantly, I don't want to see these kids being driven deeper and deeper in debt and having to wrestle with that for the rest of their lives. And I'm proud to be able to represent a congressional district that is home of 6 of the 11 state universities, Viterbo here in La Crosse, 4 of the technical schools and their campuses around. We've got to figure out a way of working together to make sure that higher education is an option for all of our students, regardless of economic background. And I'm living proof to that. As a kid who grew up on the north side, dad being a telephone repairman, we didn't have the financial resources as a family to send me to school. I was first generation. And yet through a combination of Pell Grants that I qualified for because of my low-income status, I took out student loans to help pay for college. I worked work-study all 4 years. I think I still hold the undergraduate career for most toilets cleaned in a 4-year college because it was the most disgusting job on campus, but it paid the best with the work-study. And that's what helped me make it work financially. I want to make sure that our students have those same opportunities that I had growing up. And one reason why I haven't been lockstep with the Republican agenda in Washington or supportive of the Republican Ryan budget plan that my opponent is, because that budget called for $145 billion worth of cuts in the Pell Grant program alone. That budget called for an increase in the student interest rate that's charged them on the loans that they are taking out. And it would indiscriminately cut Gear Up and Trio and Upward Bound programs that low-income students qualify for.
So, Tony, when you talk about me not being a 50% voter with the Republican agenda, that's why. But the more important question is, why would you vote that way? Why would you vote to gut these financial aid programs that our students rely on back home? Why would you vote for a budget that privatizes Medicare and takes away that benefit for our seniors? Or that would put the Social Security funds into the stock market? I can't do that because it is disastrous policy. And my question, why would you support that?
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, a political debate between Wisconsin's 3rd District Democratic Congressman Ron Kind and Republican challenger Tony Kurtz. It was recorded earlier this week at UW La Crosse.
Next question comes from Maureen McCollum, and I'm going to ask the candidates to hold their answers to about 1 minute. If you can, we'll get a few more questions.
Lightning round, huh? Okay.
Yeah, lightning round. Maureen?
Lightning answer.
The question goes to Ron Kind.
This week, the New York Times reported that the first year of the Affordable Care Act has been a mixed bag. Millions of more people have purchased health insurance, but it's still too soon to tell if promised improvements like reducing the cost of health care spending or improved health outcomes are working. Explain what you'd like to do with the Affordable Care Act moving forward.
Well, when I supported the Affordable Care Act, it wasn't because I thought it was a perfect solution to the complexity of the healthcare system, but there are tools in it now that we can work with that didn't exist. We know where the status quo was taking us, and it was taking us to a very bad place. Higher costs, more uninsured, our businesses less competitive globally, budget deficits exploding out of control. And I've been working very closely with our local healthcare providers to learn what models do work. And they are establishing models of care that produce better outcomes at a better price. But operating under the old fee-for-service system, their business model was going to go extinct. And that's why I've been driving reform to get to a value or quality-based reimbursement system. So our providers are rewarded on the quality of care that's provided, not the quantity of things that are done to us. And that, I think, is an important goal that we still need to strive for. And there has been some bipartisan agreement in order to accomplish it. And I think Tony and I could probably also agree that we need more transparency in price and quality measurements so consumers can be smarter with their health care decisions.
Tony?
Well, you know, you look at the Obamacare. You know, in 2009, Congressman Kind promised the men and women in this district that you were going to keep your insurance policy, you're going to keep your doctor, and it was going to save all this money. Well, we're now in 2014, and I can't tell you how many folks in this district I've talked to that lost their health coverage, like Brian and Beth up in Eau Claire, like Jeff and Kelly over in Stephen Point. They lost their coverage, a coverage that they liked. And Congressman Kind promised that this wouldn't happen. They had to go find another doctor. And then when you talk about sticker shock, right now, my wife has been in the healthcare field for 27 years. Right now, people are seeing their premiums skyrocket. There's people that can't even afford the premiums, even with subsidies. So this law is not working. I do say I want to repeal it, but I want to replace it. And I want to make that perfectly clear to the congressman because he keeps saying I'm repealing it, but not with a plan. The plan is a competition where men and women, businesses, small businesses can go across state lines to buy health insurance. Tort reform is part of the process. Expanding the health savings accounts. And in the new law, I would like to cover pre-existing conditions. These are things that we can work on across party lines. And once again, Congressman Kind talks about compromise. Remember the voting record. 91% of the time he votes with Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid. That is not compromise.
Well, you know, he's fond of talking about this young couple in the district that lost their health care coverage. It was Badger Care Plus. The reason they lost is because Governor Walker kicked them out of Badger Care Plus. And now he wants to blame it on the Affordable Care Act? That's a bit disingenuous, I think. I think if the governor wanted to make a decision that's in the best interest of the people in Wisconsin, he would accept the expansion of Badger Care that was offered to him. But instead, he's kicking people off from that program and leaving them with very unviable financial options that they're facing right now. But I think, you know, more importantly, why
just remember,
Tony,
it was your vote that forced the governor to make this decision.
Why does
your
Tony
vote for Obamacare
repeal?
Forced this?
Excuse me, I'm speaking right
no,
now.
No, you
Tony.
Interrupted me too before.
Why
so.
Is Tony supporting repeal of a law that would allow insurance companies to start discriminating against people again who have a pre-existing condition? Or allow insurance companies to cap annual or lifetime health care benefits? So if you contract cancer, you're going to blow through that ceiling virtually overnight. Or why he would want to take away health care coverage for a young woman up in Wisconsin Rapids who told me that ever since she was a little girl, she had a mental illness and therefore a pre-existing condition. and she could never get health care coverage because of it. Until now, she entered the exchange. She found an affordable policy. She's taking the prescription meds that she needs. She recently enrolled at UW-Stevens Point to become a nurse because she wants to help other people. That wouldn't have happened.
Congressman, I got the same stories about Laura in Galesville. She had coverage.
Quick response.
Okay, you know, she had coverage. You keep saying that this law, you even said it was an experiment. You have not come up with any viable alternative to this plan. You know it's not working for so many folks in this district. You know it. Just the other day, you and I, when I was job shadowing you in Whitehall,
you were.
There was a young lady by the name of Anna that's in charge of a nonprofit organization with 150 full-time employees. Last year alone, her premiums for her employees went up 25%, and she is just shuddering to know what those premiums are going to be in the future. You know, because she sat there and told you. Maybe you could take some of that $320,000 PAC money that you got last 90 days, and you could loan that to her and give that to her to help pay for those premiums.
Well, again, this is old-style Washington politics that increases the polarization and makes it hard to find common ground. You know, if he was following me around and listening in my listening, he would have heard of small businessmen talk about how going into the exchange, finding an affordable policy literally saved his life when he couldn't afford that on his own. And those are the stories I'm hearing from Tony, so maybe if you want to job shadow me more, you'd be hearing more similar stories that I hear.
I did enjoy that.
So. Next question comes from Martha Kolaski and goes to Tony Kurtz.
Well, both of you have talked about being fiscally responsible, and if it means balancing the budget requires getting rid of some programs, could you be specific and tell us what programs would you cut?
One of the things I called for, and I've been talking about this, we need to have a 3 to 5 year program where we actually go through the entire federal government and look at all the different programs we have. And there are a lot of redundant programs. You got GSA, which is the General Services Administration. Then you've got some other programs that we could definitely get rid of. But let's analyze all those programs. The ones that are redundant, let's consolidate them. A lot of those could be pushed down to the states. You know, if you think about it, during the Great Recession, our families, our small businesses had to do this. So this is something that our federal government should do. We should expect that. Just like I said, a 3 to 5 year program to completely overhaul our federal government to see what programs we need, what programs we don't. That's something that I would really like to introduce as your next congressman.
Congressman Kind.
Martha, let me try to be more specific. There was a recent study that showed that we spent $750 billion in the healthcare system last year alone on things that didn't work, that didn't improve patient care, unnecessary tests and procedures and utilization that's not improving patient care. If we can capture even a fraction of that, that would go a long ways to solving our budget woes that we face today. I've got a list on my website listing the weapons programs that the Pentagon instructs Congress stop appropriating money for, because they don't work, they don't need it, and it doesn't help with troop readiness. I've been leading the procurement reform efforts in Congress to change the way we acquire our weapons for our military so we don't have $300 billion worth of cost overruns. That's not chump change, even in the federal budget. And I've also led the effort in the Farm Bill to eliminate a lot of these unnecessary subsidies that are going to big agribusiness that's not helping our family farmers back home. It's been my voice in leadership that finally got rid of the direct payments, $5 billion a year in the Farm Bill that went out automatically, regardless of yield or price. But I'll tell you what I won't support. I won't support a budget that calls for $145 billion worth of cuts to students' Pell Grants, or that called for $45 billion worth of cuts to the nutrition program that low-income children, individuals with disabilities, and seniors receive because of their hunger needs. Is that really who we're asking to sacrifice in our country, all for the sake of fiscal austerity? I think we got to get our priorities right and be willing to stand up to those powerful special interests in Washington to make these changes.
The last question that we can get in tonight is going to be from Chris Hardy and goes to Ron Kind.
Ron, the global average temperature has increased by more than 1.4 degrees over the last century. The decade from 2000 to 2010 was the warmest on record. NASA and NOAA agree that climate change is occurring and humans are contributing to it. Do you believe that climate change is a serious concern for our country?
I absolutely do, and I'm not the only one. Even the Pentagon and our military experts are submitting reports to Congress right now saying if we don't get a grip on this, increased instability and volatility and increased conflict is going to occur around the globe too. In essence, we need policymakers who are more interested in the science than the politics. And unfortunately, this has become a political football. And unfortunately, it's not the science that's leading to good policy on it. There are things that we can be doing right here in Wisconsin in diversifying our energy sources, investment in alternative and renewables, enhanced energy efficiency. We're making progress right now with increased fuel efficiency. But I would rather see the science drive the policy agenda rather than the politics behind this issue. Another classic example, Chris, and it wasn't raised tonight, but it's been the Ebola scare that's been going around this country. We need the facts to be dictating policy and not fear. We need our health care providers to be showing us what works rather than the politicians trying to make this up on the go. And instead of trying to cause more fear and concern out there, I think science can help us lead us to a much better and safer place.
Tony.
One of the things I want to work on as an ex-congressman is an energy policy. You know, when we talk about having an energy footprint, you know, right now there's a lot of rail traffic between La Crosse and Prairie du Chien. That's something that's very sensitive to a lot of the voters. One of the things I want to look at as your next congressman is looking at an energy plan where we incorporate the Keystone Pipeline. I think that just makes sense. It's going to reduce our need for these pipeline for the oil trains, and it will put more oil, obviously, down where it needs to be, and we can get more energy in efficiency and more energy independent here in the future. So,
it's time to move to closing statements, and I'm going to ask both of you to hold your statements to 1 minute each. Tony Kurtz will go first, Ron Kind second.
Well, I want to thank you for this opportunity to talk with you tonight. As you can tell, we have some stark contrasts, and I hope you realize that. I want to highlight what my frustrations are. I believe in term limits. I believe some of the problems we're having, the gridlock we're having in Washington, is because people aren't compromises. Once again, Congressman Kind talks about compromise. But the facts are this. 91% of the time, he votes with Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid. These are the facts. 80% of his money last quarter was from political action committees, PACs. These men and women, they live in Washington, D.C. They have the interest in Washington, D.C., not for this district. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been a leader my entire life. I've served this country. I've started a business. I started a farm. Such a rich heritage in this district. I know what's going on with our working class families. They're struggling. They want confidence. They want security in their elected leaders. They don't have that right now. And I want to bring that for all the folks in the 3rd Congressional District. Once again, thank you so much for this opportunity to speak
with
you.
Thank you, Mr. Kurtz.
Well, I thank everyone here today in the panel, you know, for your participation, the local media, and everyone here in the audience. This has been a lively debate, but you know, there he goes again. He's practicing the old-style Washington politics of attack, 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 but without coming up with real concrete solutions himself. Listen, I was born and raised in this area. We're raising our children here. I have a good sense of what the challenges are that we're facing as a community and what our hopes and aspirations need to be. And I think people have gotten a chance to know me throughout the years. They know I've been a strong, independent voice for them in Washington. I haven't been afraid to take on the powerful special interest or the political leadership in either party. He keeps talking about my 91% voting record. Well, when you've got an extreme Tea Party agenda that's being driven in Washington today, it's hard to vote for a lot of those extreme measures that would privatize Social Security and Medicare and take food away from hungry people in order to subsidize big agribusiness. I can't do that. And yet that's the agenda that's been coming out of the House under his party's leadership. When I was in the majority, I was rated the fifth most independent voting member of Congress. And that's because I was reaching across to the other side, working with the minority party to find a pathway for common ground and bipartisanship to get things done. That's the type of representative that I think people expect from me. That's what I've been. That's what I intend to be in the future. And that's why I ask for your vote on November 4th. Thank you.
Democrat Ron Kind has represented Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District for 18 years. He's being challenged by Prairie du Chien Republican Tony Kurtz. You've been listening to the only forum they're doing this election season in the La Crosse area. It was recorded earlier this week at UW La Crosse. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Mian Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find links to the candidates' websites and the candidates' opening statements. Our site also has archives of other recent editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share a comment or make a suggestion for a future show, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives and photos, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.